In contrast to every other Sunday on Easter, a preacher need not feel compelled to remind the congregation what's been happening in the preceding verses of the gospel. For the past 3 days, we have been immersed in the story of Christ's arrest, torture, crucifixion, and burial. And even if you were unable to zoom in for this year's liturgies of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Vigil, the events preceding the arrival of certain women at the tomb, these events are at the heart of our faith's creed. For our sake, Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered death, and was buried. For our sake. And not only in words spoken in communion with the one holy and Catholic Apostolic Church, but in words sung. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Words we know by heart and can sing in the dark, no hymnal required. In addition to the Easter Gospel according to Mark, there are, of course, other scriptures appointed for today. And I will risk an assertion. Even in a congregation as learned as you all, we are less familiar with the preceding verses of those additional readings. For example, the reading traditionally appointed from the Hebrew Bible for Easter every year is from Isaiah chapter 25, beginning normally with the sixth verse. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear, and so on. Not only do we hear this every Easter, but also on All Saints Sunday. But confession, because I could not recall what happens earlier in Isaiah 25, and besides Paul Hansen, which one of us could, I needed to check it out. And then got very excited about what we've been missing, and I decided to include it for all of us to hear. And thank you, Stephen, for a most excellent reading. You might want to glance back at Isaiah 25 from the first verse. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed from old, faithful and sure. Now you can hear that, right? This is not just a prophetic recitation. It's a song, a psalm, a song praising God for wonderful things, things that get spelled out as the song continues. In verse 2, the fortified cities of the oppressors get leveled, never to be rebuilt. Verse 3, the ruthless nations no longer glorify themselves. No, the ruthless nations glorify and fear God. Verse 4, the God now to be feared by the ruthless is the same God who is an unfailing refuge for the poor and the needy. Verse 5, when the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm or like heat in a dry place, fire in a tinderbox, this God subdues the heat with a sharing of clouds. and the song of the ruthless is stilled. Stilled. Ruthless. In Hebrew, ahritzim. Also, the terribles, the tyrants, the violent singers of songs that will only tell lies. Lies about who has power and who has nothing. The lies about who is great and who is nothing. That song, the song of the ruthless, God stills. The earworms of the winners at any cost, God silences. And so with that in the ears of our hearts and minds, Isaiah 25 song in praise of the God who silences the song of the ruthless. Let's join the women who've come to the tomb to attend to the care of the corpse of a murdered friend. Say their names: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. When the women find the stone rolled away, they go in with their spices to find no body to be anointed. And a very shiny man who explains in 25 words or less, Jesus raised, not here. Your new job. Give the disciples the message that Jesus will meet you in Galilee. And so the women went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Palpable, this terror and amazement of the women, these feelings seizing them like the penetrating roar of a battle or the cascading friction of stone against stone and one tomb after another opening. And the women understanding, like every woman at the onset of her labor understands, it's not safe to start singing. Not yet. Not while the song is still being written, finding words, no more than that, creating words, a song being born with new language, for new music, for all voices. So the women breathe, just breathe, and know the days of the ruthless song are numbered. And the singers of the ruthless song outnumbered by an army of one, but not one in isolation. One body to rend all shrouds. One body to swallow up death. One body to wipe away tears from all faces, for even the ruthless weep when they think no one is looking. The ruthless song will, of course, not go quietly. The song of the ruthless dying is more than ear splitting. The song of fear drowning is frightful. So the women went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid, because laboring with the birth of a new song, a fearless song, a song of liberation, a song born of gentle love, too fierce to die, is terrifying. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.